¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The Bird Show.
My mom brought up something over the weekend that in the moment I was like, this is either the most depressing thing you've ever told us or like the sweetest thing and we should be cherishing this. So I was doing an Ask Me Anything on my Instagram yesterday and somebody had asked me about how I'm feeling about my family right now. Like where am I at in my family life and with our relationships and how everything is going. And I said that this is probably the second favorite phase in my life with my family. The first phase has got to be like when you're kids and like you're taking family vacations to Disney and you're staying up until 3 a.m. and eating Twizzlers. Like it doesn't get better than that. This, I think, is my second favorite phase because we're all adults and, you know, we have new people entering the family. So it feels kind of like it's season 5 of a long-running TV show and we're getting like new characters who are like shaking up the bunch. Like my cousin got married and, you know, we love her husband and, you know, my brother's now met the love of his life and he plans on proposing soon. So it's kind of like we have all these new characters to our little family bunch, which is sweet.
It's a fun season of the Murphys.
The Murphys. So it's been cool. And you know, there's all these fun things we get to plan, like weddings and you know, we're trying to plan my brother's proposal. I have no idea if that's happening anymore, but it's been a really good phase of life. But with that requires a lot of change, and change can be really sad and really sentimental. And my mom brought up that exact fact, and it's funny that it's kind of following what you had talked about with Hollis with the whole my old ass quote, where you're like, you never know when something is going to be the last time you're experiencing something. One day you just wake up and you go, like, I'll never do that again, or life will never be like that again. So because of all these changes that my family is going through and just the new characters that have been invited into the bunch, my mom, while we were driving to a restaurant, while we were all celebrating Mother's Day with her this weekend, it was me, my dad, my brother, and my mom. We're all in the car and my mom just starts getting all teary-eyed and she goes, thank you guys for being here this weekend. Like, I'm so glad we get to hang out. But she looks at all of us and she brought up something I never thought about for this weekend. Like, I thought I was just going to go hang out with my family and we were going to call it a day. And here we are with an existential statement from my mom where she looks at all of us and she goes, this is the last time probably that it's just gonna be us four. And I was like, well, dang, that was quite the truth bomb to drop at 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday. And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh my God, like this is probably the last time it's gonna be just us four. Because that's what happens like when, you know, you choose to marry someone, which is what my brother has done, is now all of a sudden, anytime we go celebrate a holiday, that person comes with us. And that's not a negative thing by any means. Like that's, again, it's like season 6 of the episode, or season 6 of our show rather than like season 3. But yeah, it is kind of like sitting in that season finale and being like, oh, this is probably the last time our holidays are going to look like this. And it was a weird thing to sit in because I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know how I feel about change and if this is something I need to be sad about or if it just needs to be something I need to sit in and appreciate in this moment.
Yeah, when I sent that to Hollis, and if you weren't listening half an hour ago, I played a clip from this movie that I really, really loved this year, My Old Ass. And it's about two people that are sitting in a rowboat. And as Abby is saying, they're trying to take in that this might be the last time they're ever with each other. So I sent that to Hollis yesterday because he's on this trip to Rome with a bunch of his friends from school. But the truth is, it is sad. When they get off that plane, there is some sadness there that they're all going in their different directions. One's going to this school. The other one's going to this school. This one's starting a job over here. So to be sad for a second about it, I think, is totally appropriate, or even longer than that. But also appreciating, like, okay, I'm taking this in right now. This is the last. I will remember this time forever.
I mean, there is a technicality, Abby, because if your mother chooses to be a monster-in-law, she can cause your brother to get a divorce from his wife, and then it'll once again be the four of you guys.
Oh, my God. So it doesn't have to be the last time. Do I see that happening? Absolutely not. Yeah. But there was a moment where my mom just starts crying. I'm like, oh, no, this is real sad. Things got sad real quick. I thought we were having a ha-ha-la fun time. Now we're all crying.
There is something about a mother's sentimentality personality that just takes things to like the next level.
No, and I think the important thing to remember is like when life changes and you have these new beginnings, I'm also trying to remember that those new beginnings will also have last times. So I think having the hindsight and knowing that going into it, that at some point my brother will have kids and there will be a moment where it's like, oh, it'll never just be the five of us anymore. Or God willing, I trick a man into loving me, just the six of us anymore. So I'm trying to remember as we're entering this next phase that at some point there will be a last time for that and to just soak things up from start to finish.
I think it's funny because I've, as much as we're talking about embracing goodbyes, I've never been good at that. I've always tried to pretend like the last time wasn't the last time so that I wouldn't have to feel being the last time, you know, because, but it's the truth of the matter is when you do embrace it, you do get to hold on to it. And I've also learned normally when it's the last time of something, something good or equivalent is coming after that you can embrace at the same time.
And that's exactly what's happening. So if my brother can ever get down on one knee, for God's sake,
things
we'll get
are
to
happening
there.
Fast, man. It's going to happen.
I mean, it hasn't even been a year yet. So hey, there's really no rush except from my mom who's like, you need to do this now.
She wants grandbabies real bad, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The Bird Show.
She found out yesterday during the Bird Show that maybe the one that got away is not away entirely just yet, right? So she had dated this guy and he dumped her when, or like kind of, I don't want to say dump. It was just weird timing at 19 years old.
19, he's going away to college like across the country, but they have been like high school sweethearts, first kiss, first love, first everything. And before they parted ways and decided that they were going to part ways, he gave her a letter, a sealed letter, and said, when you're ready to move on, read this. So she puts it somewhere and life moves on and she moves on and he moves on and she forgets about the letter until she's back home and she's going through some stuff and she finds the letter. She reads the letter and the letter is just takes her right back to 19 when, you know, Leah and Lincoln were an item and she's just, it, she would got transported back and she's like, what is he up to? What is he doing? I mean, could this be the one that got away? So we find Lincoln, we reach out, ask him a handful of questions, and turns out he's recently divorced and there is somebody from his past that he thinks of fondly and often. And that is Leah.
Let us not discount the Herculean effort to sit on that letter all these years and not open it up.
But well, she forgot about it.
Crazy.
That's insane.
Because the minute you hand it to me, I mean, before I even see your taillights going out, like, I'm opening that thing.
Well, also, he gave it to her under the guise of open this when you're ready to move on. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, homegirl was never ready to move on. Although the letter was like, I'll always love you. So I'm like, why would I read that after I'm ready to move on? I don't get it.
At 19, I would not have been able to hold on to that. Now I can. Like, if somebody sends me a text that is nasty and it rolls over into, like, a note because it's going to be that long, I'll just delete it, never even read it, and don't even care. I could do that, no problem.
I could do it if I felt like it was somebody was trying to insult me. But if I felt like it had closure to a relationship I was in, even today, I wouldn't be able to hold that.
Not to take something beautiful dark, but I have a family member who has told me that they are going to write letters. Hmm. And upon their death, those letters will be like handed out. And it's about all the ways people have wronged them.
That is the worst.
I'm not mad at
no,
that.
I want to see you man, read that while I'm alive. It ain't going to do me any good while I'm 6 feet under.
And I was just like, you get a letter like that. And you know, are you reading the letter from the dead person telling you why you made their life miserable?
It depends who it comes from. And because I would know what the tone was going to be based on what they were like and while they were alive.
I found my parents' manila folder, which has all the important information. So like every time my parents take off on a flight, they're like, hey, by the way, all the important info is in blah, blah, blah folder or whatever. And I stumbled across it one day. And at the end of the letter, it had a list of people who weren't allowed to be invited to the funeral.
Oh, my God.
I love it so much. I would get. Would you not, as a daughter, get like no greater joy than seeing one of those names pop up at the funeral and walking up and being like, denied.
You're not on the list.
I would want to be the denier.
Right?
Yes. Give me that job.
All right. Well, this turned out really great yesterday, at least. So what has happened over the last 24 hours? Did Leah reach out to the guy? Did they reconnect? Hey, Leah.
Hello.
Okay,
good morning.
So you were giddy yesterday when you left us. So what happened?
Well, yeah, I was pretty excited. I reached out and we FaceTimed. We talked for like 2 hours. we just kind of caught up, you know. It's been 10 years, and he told me a little bit about his divorce, but we just, like, talked about the past, and, oh my gosh, he looks exactly the same, too. Like, he looks so good.
Well, hold on one second. I want to back up for just a second, because you hadn't reached out or talked to this guy in a long time, so your first text to him or whatever was what?
Well, I just sent him this text. It was like, hey, I don't know if you're busy, but I'm heading to go get me a blue IC, and I was wondering if you'd like to chat.
You brought it full circle with the inside blue IC joke.
And he knew, you know, he knew. He was like, he sent back like in all caps with like a bunch of exclamation points. He's like, Leo, oh my God. And so he called me right away, and then yeah, we just set up a time a little bit later to FaceTime. So, and it was, it's like, it just clicked. We just started talking, and it was so easy, you know, it was like, it hadn't been a day.
Isn't it so nice when it's so easy? You just know, like, there's a comfortability with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It's weird.
So you felt the chemistry was there again, right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, on phone it was, yeah. But the one issue, he's kind of far away. So I'm just trying to process that, you know.
Oh, so
how far is he?
It's like 8 hours away.
Driving.
Waited 10 years for this.
Yeah, for the right person.
Yeah, it was 8 hours.
The love of your life. 8 hours is doable.
Yeah. I'd at least dabble in it for a while and see if it's worth, you know, pursuing for sure.
Are you going to dabble?
Oh, yeah, he's coming to see me for the Memorial weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We knew that wasn't going to take long.
She's like, oh, 8 hours, it's so long. He'll be here next week. Yeah.
All right, keep us posted as it goes along, okay?
Yeah, totally, I will.
All right, Leah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The Burt Show. All right, so Kay Lee here and his kid may be being scammed in the worst possible way.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like the beginning of some catfish story to me. So, little backstory. I Hulk smashed his PlayStation 5, I don't know, 6 months ago. You remember that? I know it hurts you every time, Mo. You just, every time I bring it up, you're like,
I try to forget every time you say it.
It's like a loved one passing.
I get the frustration. As a parent, I get it, man.
Yeah, totally. And so, he was mad, rightfully so, upset, but he got over it. And he started, you know, him and I have been playing a lot of chess. Sometimes we play online. And so, I started to give him a little bit of, you know, freedom with chess.com, you know, which is sometimes where we play.
And again, he's how old?
12.
Okay.
And you're using his school gifted computer, which that you just had beef with about the
Is it gifted or do you have to pay at the end of the year like
no,
I do?
No, I don't think I have to pay at all. Okay. I think it's just your kid's school trying to just gouge you for more money.
Remember I told you guys the other day that they were trying to get that $500 back, and I wrote an email back saying, so out of all, I'm paying you all this tuition and now you're going to hit me with $500 and I didn't hear back from them. I talked about it on the radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hit me on Monday.
Are they charging you?
Yeah, and they were going to like withhold his transcripts and he wasn't going to be able to graduate, so.
Well, they play hardball with you.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? If you would have sent him to a free school, they would have given it to you for free.
That's the difference between public and private.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he started playing on chess.com. He started his own little chess club or whatever, and I'm like, cool, still kind of like, all right, let's see where this goes. And it started kind of happening again, maybe not in the same way as the PlayStation, but kind of like, just now he's disappearing to his room. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Sheesh. It's like, Kai, get off the computer.
Right.
Get off the computer. And so the other day, he gets...
Is he an introverted kid, too?
No, not at all. Not unless his eyes are glued to... He's in zombie mode with, like, the electronics.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of parents say, well, he's kind of introverted, so we let him just be by himself in that room, which is, if you look it up online, the worst thing you can do for an introverted kid.
No, it's
the absolute worst thing you can
do. No, he's probably more like me. He'd talk to anybody.
Okay.
But that being said, you probably do that enough, you probably become an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to lose your people skills. And so he gets in the car with my wife and my daughters, and my daughter starts messing with him, and he just snaps. And my wife, Erin's like, what's wrong? And then he starts, like, breaking down crying. Now, my son is like a, he's got a huge heart. He's super sweet. Like, so and
he gets
after.
That from, he clearly gets that from Erin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely. That's her side of the family, or her, regardless. But so Erin starts digging on what's wrong, and he said that this girl he's been talking to online
mm-hmm.
said she might have cancer. Now, I mean, she might have cancer. Like, so immediately, my wife's like, oh, heck no. Because to me, that's a red flag. Why would you even say that?
You're starting to feel scam? Like, he's going to be asked for money or something?
It's a, I don't know if you call it a thirst trap. It's a hook. It's like, what? Oh, my God. Well, you know, let me see how invested this person is.
Do we know how old she is? Like, so this is part of his online chess club?
Correct. Well, what their profile said, it could be some Ukrainian 40-year-old in Russia. Who knows? I mean, like,
you don't find a lot of Ukrainians in Russia right now, but
well, whatever.
Different combo for
well, but actually, but this girl says that she's from Kentucky. But way to place it, like, you know, kind of close, but not too close. And so I'm like, well, first off, you start looking at that, right? I'm like, nope, that's done. Because we're just not going down that road.
So, Cassie, let me ask you this question, and Mo also, because you guys are gamers, and you talk to people online, and you have friends that are online that you'll consistently play games with. Is this like in the normal, like in normal conversation when you guys are playing, do you give insights into each other's lives?
Not really.
No?
My experiences, no, not at all.
Okay.
Because that's a major thing to divulge to somebody that you're communicating with online, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if we're playing a game of chess and maybe there's a chat, like, and you play with the same person over and over, maybe. But usually, like, the online multiplayer games, you're talking about the game.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it probably has evolved. Like, he's got this little chess club. Sometimes he plays. But now there's, like, you know, people that are in your club might not even be playing at the moment, but now you're chatting. And so now there's this, you know, back and forth consistently. And I asked him, I said, how long have you been talking to this person? I don't know if it's a girl, a guy, or what. He said about a month. And I'm just like, why would you say you think you might have cancer?
But they haven't asked for anything yet.
No, but it, just the simple fact that he was not upset. I mean, he was just, like, genuinely upset because he... It was that sad.
Yeah, for sure.
And being sweet. But it's like, that's the first sign. He's already getting invested. And then who knows where it goes from there.
Well, I think the internet's also a place for lonely people to be whoever they want to be.
Exactly.
And this may be a kid that doesn't get a lot of attention at home. But if they throw out the cancer card to some stranger, you know you're going to get sympathy or empathy or some kind of attention from whoever.
Totally.
If it's a kid at all, like you said.
Right, right. But I also said, and I don't know, this is not true for everything, but I said, you know, if somebody is really sick with cancer and they're online chatting, they probably get looked at all the time if they're visibly sick. Mm. So they're probably going to just conceal that, because why would they divulge it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't trust it.
Man, it's so crazy because you think about the predators online and you think about, like, the really nefarious stuff. But this is also a different type of predatory behavior if you think about it. So obviously, he's not going to communicate with him anymore. But are you going to just try to see if you can sniff it out?
I didn't even think about that.
I think you should communicate, like, as you are Kai, and see if you can, like, sniff out. And if they start asking for, like, yeah, my treatment's going to be really expensive and I need X amount of dollars for my treatment, blah, 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 blah. I would, if I were you, if you got the time, I would just try to.
Oh, I'll make the time.
I will make the time.
Oh, you got a homework assignment, man.
Yes, I'm just going to respond, I love you.
What do you do for me? I'm here for you.
Jump on there today as him and then come in and tell us how the combo went.
You are so crafty, Kristen.
That's right, man.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
A doctor's post has gone viral because he posted the 6-word phrase that men say that are a huge red flag for him and immediately makes him more alert that something really is wrong. And that 6-word phrase for men, when they come into the emergency room, he's a Florida ER doctor. When men come into the emergency room and the first thing they say is,
My wife made me come in. That's when he knows something is really wrong.
Yeah, that's because guys will put it off and put it off and put it off. And then at some point or another, your wife's going to go, that's it. You got to go to the doctor. So that's the first thing they say. It makes sense.
Yeah, he said, so if your wife made you come in, there's a good chance of a real health issue there. And it immediately, like, his spidey senses go up.
This just happened yesterday in my household. Renee was trying to get me to go see a dermatologist because every day I've got this one spot on my back.
Mole, it's a little mole.
But it itches like crazy. And it's one spot that I can't get to because I have T-Rex arms.
Itchy, mole.
I had to ask her to scratch it once again. And she goes, I'm emailing myself right now to make a dermatologist appointment for you. And I was like, I don't need to go to the dermatologist.
Yeah, When's the last time you went?
I've never been to a dermatologist.
You don't do a
never
skin
been
scan?
To a dermatologist, bro?
I know where my skin tags are.
It's not about that.
I've only been once.
Every year. Right? You need to get a skin scan every single year.
Matter of fact, what I said to her was, I could take care of that with a pair of scissors.
Thomas Owen.
Last time, Amanda and I were on vacation. She saw something on my back, and she's like, as soon as you get back, you're going to see the dermatologist, which I did. And dermatologist said, nothing. You're good to go.
Usually, if I can reach it, I try and squeeze it first to see if anything comes out.
Oh, my God.
That's disgusting.
Some people are eating.
No, but we're going to use that as a PSA right now. Every single June, I go to the dermatologist. They do a skin scan. They check everything to make sure nothing looks abnormal.
Did they find anything?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you still need to get a check, though.
Yes.
So there's nothing really for me either, but they do tend to shame you a little bit, though. Like, if you go in there with a tan, they're like, okay, were you using sunscreen every single time I walk in there?
Mine does not do that.
Oh, mine does.
Yeah. I'm not going to Debbie Downer this segment, but there's a reason why I go. You need to go.
The sun has nothing to do with this mole, because if you look at me, you know I haven't taken my shirt off in 25 years.
did Renee make you an appointment?
If she did, I won't go.
William Thomas Owen.
I'm supposed to go every year?
Yeah, once a year. So they can check the moles and make sure like nothing has changed or like changed shape or anything like that.
I'm keeping
because
my money for snacks.
You want to catch that as early as freaking possible.
Look, based on the competition that you and I have, I say you don't go at all,
I'm still going to win that competition.
Don't go at all. Tommy and I have a competition. Whoever dies first. What does the other one get?
Yeah, what do you win?
I'm going to sing
bragging
at your funeral.
Rights.
Yeah, that's it.
I get to sing at your funeral.
You just get to brag?
That's not enough. But if he lives longer than I do, based on our lifestyles, I'll be so pissed.
Yeah.
I will be haunting you and Renee.
It's going to be so funny.
That mole's going to be itching so bad and you'll never be able to reach it again.
All right, so the celebrity challenge that we have in studio ends tomorrow. This is it, you guys. I mean, there is time over the next 24 hours to get a sincere A-lister to call in, and you can win this thing.
All right, Rebecca did her Hail Mary with Ryan Seacrest earlier this morning, and I'm doing my Hail Mary now. I told you guys the last time we talked about our celebrity challenge, where Bert has challenged all of us on the show to get the biggest celebrity we can to call in. And then as of tomorrow, at the end of the show tomorrow, the list will go up on the website. Listeners vote for the biggest celebrity. Whoever wins gets an entire week paid vacation, right?
I would really, just for optics, like to add a couple more celebrities to that list tomorrow.
I would imagine.
Okay, what if we extended the competition?
Is there any chance at all you have anybody?
No.
On the line.
I'm in contact with someone, but they're just taking a really long time. Their PR person is not
communicative. So, the way it's going so far, I mean, if we were churning out A-list after A-list after A-list, they'd be like, yes, let's extend it for a week. But that hasn't exactly happened.
Yeah, it is a little sad.
Speaking of extension, did we already extend it? Because I swore the date was May 15th. We didn't say that?
No, it's on Friday. Tomorrow.
Friday. Oh, yeah. I thought it was the 15th.
No, May 16th.
May 16th. Okay. Tomorrow's the day it ends at the end of the show.
He's got Russell Wilson in there, so he wants this thing to end quick.
Well, nah, y'all already said Homer Simpson is beating Russell Wilson.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't either.
Plus, it's not up to us.
Are you kidding me? That's Americana.
So I was not above begging and bribing, and I went to my social media. I was in my Insta story letting Burt Show listeners know, hey, hit me up in my DMs. If you have a connection with a celebrity, you will be compensated if they are voted the biggest celebrity. And I got some DMs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. So I replied back to some people were like, I got a friend of a friend of a cousin of a friend. Yeah, like, no.
We all do. It's called the TV.
You have to have be the contact. But I DM those other people back and I'm like, oh my God, there were some pretty sweet names. And so I hit them up and like, actually like, this is my husband's cousin. My husband can like, I'm like, all right, let's do this. And I DM'd everybody back and I'm like, email Kristen@theburkshow.com because I'm not just floating the hotline number out to anybody in DMs. Let's get it in writing. You have my word, blah, blah, blah. Nobody has emailed me. Of all those DMs, nobody. So now, right here, right now, Burk Show listeners, if you have a celebrity contact, all right, we got 24 hours to do this. Shut up, Tommy. We got 20. Shut up, Tommy. We got 24 hours to do this. Email me, Kristen@theburkshow.com. If they are voted the biggest celebrity, I will Venmo you $500.
Yeah. Oh. Email Kristen@thefixisin.com.
It's not the fix, man.
Use what you got.
That vacation is worth way more than that.
She can't use her popularity from the show to have people working for her.
What sure she can.
I'm not using popularity. I'm using cold, harsh cash, bitch.
All right, if we're going to play dirty, yes. I think I'm ready to throw my cap into the ring.
Are you?
If you, within the next 24 hours, can get me an A-lister that wins, I will bring you on my Cartagena girls trip for free.
Whoa!
Dang! Oh,
4 days in Cartagena, Colombia.
Airfare and everything included.
We'll talk about airfare, but you can come on the vacation.
Wait, what?
What's that value?
That's a $2,300 value.
Damn.
Checkmate.
Mm-hmm. All right, so $500.
Well, Cartagena is not on your bucket list of places to go. I'll put $500 in your bank account.
If I were you guys, I would DM them like immediately.
No. Your DMs are worthless to me because y'all don't respond and you're not at, like, now I know what it feels like when you DM me and I don't respond. Whatever. You got to email me, Kristen, Kristin, @theburkshow.com. It'll be in writing. You will have it in writing. I will give you the hotline number for that celebrity to call. If they call and win, $500 is yours.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Got a quick content warning for intimate partner violence because we're going to be talking about how Halle Bailey was granted a temporary restraining order against her ex-partner, rapper and YouTuber DDG. This is absolutely devastating. You would know Halle Bailey probably mostly from The Little Mermaid, which if you haven't seen that film, oh my God, it's so good. They did such a good job on it. I know the Snow White one was a little bit more controversial, but if you love like live action like remakes of Disney movies, that one was so well done and just so nostalgic. But Halle Bailey is alleging that her ex-partner engaged in physical, emotional, verbal, and financial abuse throughout their entire relationship. And one of the most heartbreaking details that I think was her last straw was when she was exchanging, they were doing a custody visitation swap. So he was about to pick up their son, Halo, and they got in a really tough physical altercation that resulted in a chipped tooth and bruises.
Oh my God.
She even has photo evidence of it. I mean, this is the entire story is just absolutely devastating. Oh. So right now she's seeking sole legal and physical custody of her son Halo, and she is requesting that DDG be denied visitation rights. Absolutely devastating for her. So our hearts and prayers are going out to Halle because this is just absolutely awful.
I'm proud that, I mean, she dug deep to find the strength to file that and to finally say like enough is enough.
100%.
DDG had some allegations in his last relationship too, so this is really not his first rodeo around these types of things.
So this is like a character consistency for him. Okay, well, in equally heartbreaking and devastating news, Meghan Trainor has tweaked the lyrics to her famous song All About That Bass since having lost a massive amount of weight.
People were pissed.
People are mad about this. And it's just goes to show, like, as a woman, like, you're danged if you're I'm trying not to say the D word. You're danged if you do and you're danged if you don't.
There you go.
And because she recently went on Monjaro, she's been open about the fact that she's lost weight with weight loss medications. And because she has this song that was kind of an anthem to curvier women in larger bodies, talking about how, you know, I'm not no size two. And now all of a sudden she's on her way to being a size two. People definitely have some things to say about it. So here is what she's changed it to. It's a little muffled, so it's tough to hear, but she's changed that lyric from I ain't no size two to I got some new boobs. Because you know I'm you know, not being a size two, she is raving about the fact that she also got some fancy new boobies.
Cassie, how you feel about this? Because any celebrity, especially a woman, that loses weight gets heat for it, man.
Oh, Adele.
Because, oh my gosh, she has so much, right? Oprah, it happened with also. But here you have maybe a little bit of a different case because she was celebrating her curve, saying she was okay with everything. And I think that's what people connected to. So now that she isn't that anymore and that's not part of her brand, do they have like some legitimacy?
It's weird. So I appreciate that she changed it because she's not curvy anymore. So she's, you know, speaking her truth. But I think you could have found a better way of doing it that still celebrated curvy girls. Honestly, at the end of the day, I feel like this is just the most mundane battle. Meghan Trainor can do whatever she wants to do. There are bigger issues in the world. But I do think it's a little sad. Like, leave the art as it was. You can change as a person. No sweat or no shade against any celeb who loses weight or even celebrates it. And the fact that she's open and honest about using Manjaro, I think, is a great conversation to have. You don't need to change your songs, though. But at the end of the day, she's the artist. It's her song. She can do what she wants.
I guess it's just a different interpretation for how her body is now. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, whenever that song came out, you know, she wanted to celebrate that part of her body of not being a size two. But now I guess now she's kind of on the way to being a size two. Now this song is, I guess, the different interpretation is her just celebrating that she has new boobs.
But it's hard, though, because it does, like, for people who are overweight who often feel invisible, this feels like erasing a win for that group of people who used to love this song. And so, but it's hard. It can be both and because it's reflecting Megan's new journey and who she is now. He can change a lot over 10 years. So who am I to tell her, like, you can't change your art to reflect who you are and how you've grown? But I do feel for the audience who really related to it. And that was kind of a curvy girl anthem. And now you're erasing that and taking it away from us.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I can tell, the song is pretty much the same on Spotify. So if you want to jam out to it today, you're not going to hear the new lyrics on Spotify or anything. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Money talks.
It does. I've already gotten 3 emails.
What?
Are you kidding? I've gotten 0 emails.
This is no.
I've already gotten 3 emails, and they are legit.
Absolutely part of the rules. Sure.
They are legit. Well, one is part of a very famous girl group.
We should reset this here real quick for anyone just
Katie,
checking
us out. Katie, come in here. Katie, come in.
Tommy, shh. Go ahead.
All right. So we're doing a celebrity challenge, right? Bert has challenged us to get the biggest celebrities we can to call in. And whoever, as deemed by the listeners, you guys are going to vote over the weekend. And it's like everything's coming to an end this Monday. Whoever is voted the biggest celebrity, whichever Bert Show member was responsible for getting that celebrity to call in, will get a week of paid vacation. A week off. Paid.
Rebecca comes in here earlier begging people, saying, hey, help me out, please. What did she mean? What was her offer?
I think she just pulled the cancer card.
She did. Yeah, that was it.
She was like, hey,
feel sorry for me.
I had cancer. Feel bad for me.
So help me out. And then Kristen came to the table with $500.
Yes, I did. And I had posed this, and it was undisclosed amount in my Insta story. And I got people hit me in my DMs. And then I was like, all right, let's make this official. Get it in writing and email. Nobody emailed me. So I threw my Hail Mary pass this morning, baby. I was like, all right. Email me, Kristen@theburtshow.com. You get the celebrity to call in before the end of the show tomorrow. They are voted the biggest celebrity. I'm putting $500 in your pocket.
And then Abby steps up also, like, mm-hmm. I will pay for your vacation to Colombia.
Uh-huh. I will take you with me to Cartagena, Colombia, if I'm the one that wins. And I'm gotten 0 emails. So I just, either people really don't like me or they really don't like Colombia.
And the way I'm looking at it, Mo's just over.
I am counting on the guy who throws Hail Marys in real life. That's my Hail Mary.
Russell Wilson. Hey, one guy. Okay.
All right. So during the last break, Katie comes running in. And Katie, what did you divulge to me?
I divulged that all of you all are a day late and a dollar short. Mo was right.
I know I was, but it's cool.
4/15/2025 is when the challenge started.
Okay.
On our records. So it ends today.
Nah, it ends tomorrow.
You said 1 month, not 1 month.
You
and a
also
day.
Said it was May 15th. Yeah. That's why I wrote it down.
I also said that I could change the rules at any time. It'll be tomorrow so they can vote over the weekend.
Fine where he says 4/15. They can still vote over the weekend.
Yeah, no.
We're sending it. The man with his name on the show is saying.
Okay. I even said in the beginning I could change the rules. This is exactly the reason why I didn't go to corporate with it. Because they would have had to put things in writing and I wouldn't be able to, like, move at all.
Well, I can change the rules, too. Guess who controls the phones? Who's doing this dial tone?
Oh, yeah. So if she gets Tom Hanks to call in, you're going to go, sorry, just can't put you through.
I'm going to say no Hanks.
Do you have anybody in the running that would even be considered right now for you to be even cheating?
Stevie Wonder.
Shut up.
Liar. He ain't going to call.
Stevie Wonder. I'm still trying. Stevie Wonder or Rick Dees.
Just say he's looking for the phone.
Rick Dees ain't going to win you at this.
Yeah, Homer's the front runner.
This is like having a party and putting on the invitation, invited guests. Even though you know none of them are going to show up.
Nobody RSVP'd yes, but we sent them an invite so we can put their name on it to make it look way better than it actually is.
All right, Cassie, so you walk into your bedroom and the babysitter is trying your clothes on?
Yeah, so my friend who has a real house, because you know I live in an RV right now, so it's kind of hard to walk into a bedroom when you don't really have one, but she has cameras inside her house, and they're on the front and back doors, right? Like, they're for security. So they get alerts when there's motion, and usually they ignore them because they have kids, they have dogs, they know the babysitter's out, but she's out with her husband, and they got a motion alert on their upstairs. I guess they have, like, a patio with an entry door, and she's like, that's weird. It's just the master bedroom upstairs. Why would we be getting a motion alert up there? So she checked it out. And she can't, like, see in the master bedroom because they don't have cameras in there, but just on that entry door on the outside. And she sees the babysitter has walked into her bedroom, and she's like, weird, but okay, maybe there's something from the kids in there. There must be a reason. This is their, like, go-to babysitter they use all the time. Then she sees another motion alert a little bit later, like 20 minutes later, and the babysitter walks out wearing her clothes. Now, my friend is really stylish, and she has a very nice closet. Like, she buys designer stuff. Her stuff is all, like, key, beautiful pieces. Like, she dresses well. She's a lawyer, so she's got the budget for it.
She got the labels, baby.
So she's seeing the babysitter walk around in her Louboutins.
Gucci dress.
Like all her designer stuff with her handbag. She has a Birkin, and she's showing off the Birkin. Yes.
She is wearing her Birkin?
She took it out of the dust bag, like, out of the, because she keeps them in a box. And so I'm like, you know, as a girl who wears clothes from Gap, I was like, well, you have a Birkin? That's crazy. But also that she's, like, somebody is just walking around with it, because those, what, start at, like, $10,000, I think, for a Kelly or something. I don't really know.
Is this babysitter, like, high school babysitter, or is this an older babysitter?
It's not. She's in the middle. She's in college. Okay, so she's not, like, an old woman, and she's not
young 20s.
Super young. Yeah. So I get the fascination with it, for sure. And, you know, had I known she had a Birkin, I'd be like, let me see one in real life. I'm curious. But it felt like, she said it felt like such a violation that this babysitter, like someone she trusted, was essentially going through her things.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't like she popped up there for a kid for the toys or even a sweater or a blanket. Like, she had to go through a box to get that out. And she's wearing this stuff around. And she's just like, it feels gross and dirty. And I don't know how to address it with her. Because at the end of the day, everything she checked was put back perfectly. Like, restored. Nothing was damaged. Everything was hung up. But she's like, it just feels weird that someone played dress up in my clothes without me knowing. And I caught it on camera, so now I have to address that. I mean, the babysitter knows there are cameras inside, but I don't think she realized
you'd be able
to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's like, do I say something? Do I just lock the bedroom when we leave? Like, she loves this babysitter because she's normally very trustworthy, but she also feels like the trust is broken a little.
You guys got anything on this? 1-855-BIRCHA.
I'm trying to think of how bad of an infraction this is. It's obviously an infraction because it's an invasion of privacy, right? You're going into my things. However, being a woman in your young 20s and as a woman now, and, you know, I own it. I love a good label. I have some, you know, I have a pair of Louboutins myself. So I understand, like, the fascination if you are in a place in your life where you don't have those means to have something like that, but you are, like, a fashionista, and, like, it's, you know, oh, my God, it's, like, it's a pair of Louboutins. So it depends on how good of a babysitter she is, because they're so hard to find.
It's the first infraction, though, the only infraction, right?
Yeah, but I feel like it's a big one. I don't know what would
be. That's what I'm trying to decide. Is it a big one?
Is it?
What do you think, Ma?
I don't know how y'all confused. That would be one and done for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Same
absolutely.
Here.
Really? Yeah, I would be finished. You can't just take my private stuff and put it on. I was mad when my sisters used to take my basketball shorts and they family.
They don't understand the value of a good babysitter.
Oh, man.
Because on the flip side, this babysitter's never bought her boyfriend over to the house, like engages and plays games with the kids and educational games, which I don't know. I feel like sometimes bringing the boyfriend over to the house is a bigger infraction than the trying on of the clothes.
So what I would do, because it is like, it's so hard to like get a consistent, like quality babysitter. What I would do is I would sit her down and I would confront her because it needs to be addressed, right? And be like, hey, you know, you know we have cameras around the house. A camera caught you and I saw you wearing XYZ. Her reaction will tell me everything. If she is so remorseful and like so apologetic and I am so sorry, I've just never seen such nice things, blah, 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 blah. And like if she responds adequately, then I will forgive her and mark that as like, okay, you got a mark, but I don't think that's a fireable offense. I honestly can't believe I'm saying this, but it's not like she stole it and she took it and she sold it. She just tried it on to be play dress up and then she put it back. It sounds like something like your daughter would do and go into your closet. Mm-hmm. So I would treat it like that.
For me, this would really bother me, someone like putting on my clothes without me being there. So I would fire them. But if I had kids and I could not find a good babysitter, because I understand this is a difficult thing to do, I would kind of send a message, maybe not by confronting her, but I would put a big old lock on my closet door. Mm-hmm. So you can still come over, hang out with the kids and make sure, you know, everything's good and I'll pay you and I'll do all the things. But you're going to know. You can't go back in my closet.
You know, I'm having an inner debate in my head, and the job within the house changes things for me. If it's the babysitter, I'm probably just letting it go. But like, let's say I hire somebody to clean my house every week and they did that, fired immediately.
Because you feel like that's the gateway. Like the next step is taking something.
I'm not sure why.
Well, do you want to know what my friend did? Because she did do something.
Okay.
She bought her a pair of Louboutins.
What?
And she put a note on the box and she said, now you have your own pair you can wear around.
Oh, if I was her, I would wear everything else in the closet. Seriously?
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. She's like, listen, because I asked her, I was like, what do you do? She's like, this girl has babysat for us for like 5 years now. She's really trustworthy. I'm going to look at her like a daughter figure and give it a pass, but I'm going to let her know that I saw her. But as a reward for being so loyal, I'm going to give her own pair, sends the message that I know what she did. Mm-hmm. So she's not going to do it again, but it does it in a way that it like imbues loyalty to me.
Did the babysitter also say that, hey, you saw the video, right? You saw I was carrying your Birkin also.
I don't know what the babysitter said, but I know what my friend got her. Yeah.
And it was a Gucci designer dress.
You get one in the cheapest one.
The Bert Show.
It's getting to be crunch time. All right, so if you're new around here, we are doing an in-show competition right now. Whoever on the Bert Show can book the biggest celebrity on the show before tomorrow at the end of the show, then and you guys are going to vote over the weekend, then the winner of that will get a paid week off vacation. Yes, Tommy.
Now, I will say, normally when a celebrity calls in, I'm the one who vets them to make sure it's the person that calls in. But I did not vet them because this just happened in our discussion within the last hour. I didn't want anybody to think that I'm trying to stop anybody from calling in. So I don't even know who this is on the line.
Okay.
Wow. That's awful dangerous to not vet the person, isn't it?
Well, they called in the hotline.
Well, why don't we just get to them? Good morning, Bert Show. Who is this?
Hey, is this Bert?
It is. It's the Bert Show. Yeah, we're all here.
Okay, I'm going to make you decide who it is. Can I give you a hint?
I know who it is.
Go ahead, give us a hint.
Okay, coming up next, Taylor Swift.
Is Rick Dees?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Legend. Rick Dees
in a weekly top 40. You know,
legend.
I'm a legend in my own shower.
Get out. I mean, so Tommy used to work for you for a long time, right?
No, before we get into this, all of you on the show are so talented and so incredible. I don't know how you do it every day, but I just am amazed.
You do know how we do it every day because you did the same thing and you did it better. No,
it's so funny. To come up with there's a term we use in radio called bits, to come up with a bit every day. So I just wrote this bit, and I'm gonna see if I can get it by you. And again, I have never tested it on the air or anything. So may I try it?
Please.
Okay. So, it's D's quiz time. So tell me, you saw what happened in the Kentucky Derby a few days ago. Junior Alvarado was fined $62,000 because he whipped his horse too many times. He whipped his horse six times, and you can't do it more than six. So the question is, how many times will you hit a horse and be disqualified completely? Okay, so the answer is 8, 9, or 10.
Okay, multiple choice.
And you're disqualified completely if you hit a horse blank times. How many?
I'm going to go 9.
I'm going to go with nice, round, even number at 10.
I'm going to go 8.
Okay.
I'm going to go 9.
Hey, Bert, you get a week vacation paid. It's 10.
Thank God. I need it, Rick. I need it so bad.
Now, if that had happened on my wedding night, Julie, I could have gotten my marriage annulled.
All right, so, Rick Dees, I want to tell you one of my favorite stories about you.
I think everybody our age has a Rick Dees.
Now, who is this? I'm sorry, we're not on TV, so yes. Who is this again?
So, this is Kristen Klingshern. I'm one of the co-hosts here on The Bert Show, but I also used to...
Oh, no, you're incredible.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I also used to do promotions for 104.5 The Cat in Lexington, Kentucky, and I know you have fond ties to Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm going to tell the world, usually I don't do this, but I own a farm in Kentucky, and we grow organic corn, that over 1,000 acres of it, that makes this wonderful bird called Pappy Van Winkle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know Pappy. Yeah.
Exactly. So we were doing a promotion, and we had a bunch of listeners lined up to go into a Carrabba's, and you happened to have been in town.
Oh, my gosh, I remember you.
and we had dinner with you, myself, and Michael Jordan's a very easy name to remember. Michael Jordan was in charge of marketing.
No. I remember everything. It was a great day.
It was beautiful.
You have to understand, I am so amazed. I pull up in my car, and they're like, 400 people, Kristen, and I said, this can't be for me because I can't draw more than 7.
But the best part is Rick Dees goes down through the line, and he's saying hello to everybody and handing people $100 bills.
What? Really?
Oh, that's my kind of hello.
Yeah, you were so kind and so gracious, and you were just like, thanks for coming. Here's some money. And just started, and we went inside, and we had the most lovely dinner at Carrabba's, just hanging out with Rick Dees, and you were just like the sweetest human being.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Well, it was fun. And, it's amazing because radio is a very personal medium, as we know. But I'm sure you will go up to people and say, this, you have to take this as a compliment. I grew up listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, well, I did too. How about that?
Rick, I got one to share with you also, and I'll do it very, very quickly. This left such a memory on me. Kid Craddock was essentially my brother and my mentor. And I remember him coming in studio one day telling me that he played a round of golf with you. And he said something to the effect of, when the round was over, somebody in your camp or you got his home address and you sent him a whole bunch of like thank you letters and a whole bunch of t-shirts with your logo on it. And you left this lasting impression on him, and he tried to emulate you in every single time he met somebody as well.
Oh, well, I remember we played one round of golf. It was on a vacation. And what a wonderful man. I just miss him so much. And he was, in fact, Bert, I can tell you channel him sometime, because your show has one thing after another. May I say this too? Tommy Owen and his wife Renee are so special to us. His wife Renee she's still here, but she's given her life to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that she goes into hospitals and prays for people at the worst time of their life. And so I said, Renee, I'm not a professional minister or anything, but could you write a prayer that I could put in my house? And she said, wow, that's incredible. She did it, and I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, Tommy, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the prayer. It says, "Dear Lord, please make Rick Dees talented."
You still got it, Fred. Hey, Rick, thank you for calling in, man. What an honor.
I wish we could talk. And listen, I want to get everybody's personal home address. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to write, like I did with Kid Craddock, I'm going to write everybody a letter and see if I can sponsor you into Amway.
Hey, Rick, it is an honor having you on, man, for a dude that's done radio
Please do me one last favor. Yeah. Bert, if I don't win as the biggest celebrity, and there's a good chance, don't tell me.
Rick Dees, thank you for calling in. We appreciate
it. God bless. Talk to you soon.
Take care now.
Thanks, Tommy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Man, that guy's a legend in this industry. You guys don't understand. Like, when you're somebody Kristen's age or my age, I mean, everybody has a Rick Dees memory.
Quick story. Kristen was talking about the $100. Whenever I would go out to eat with Rick, every single time, and we'd be eating someplace where the tab didn't run up much, he would take a $100 bill and he'd stick out, he'd ball his fist, he'd put the $100 bill sticking out in one hand, and the other one, he'd go, "Yes, which hand?" So, like Kid Craddock emulates Rick, I try and do that too, but now I only do it with a dollar.
The Bert Show.